Okay, everyone, we're ready for our discussion this evening. It's good to be with you. Last week we talked about mental creation. Before we jump into this next section, does anyone have any questions after practicing some of these goal-setting exercises or using mental creation, mental rehearsal, exploration, etc.? Has anyone got a question or a comment or a story they'd like to share this evening? Okay, well, I'm going to leave this off of mute so that you can jump in any time to share. I'm going to sip on a little bit of fluid because I've got a bit of a cold. Traveling to Houston last week and then back to a blizzard here in Utah was quite a shift in the weather. I put a Facebook post on today that I am so ready for summer. And I was with a client today at lunchtime and they said, if I see one more snowflake, I'm going to blow a fuse. And I just had to nod and say, I agree with that. I hope we're all ready for summer. Let's turn to our assessments. Now, it's important that we have it in front of us this evening. We're going to talk about these six measurements in physical creation. It's not important tonight for everybody to know this, but we are making some changes to the assessment, not in the mathematics or the interpretation, et cetera, just in the way that it looks, so that it's a little easier to understand when you're just looking at the at these graphics. So in the next few weeks and months ahead, you'll be able to see this a little bit differently. When we get to physical creation, we have been talking about connection with people and the importance of practicing intrinsic validation to step into someone's world. We've been talking about mental creation. I was re-listening this weekend to Maxwell Maltz's book, Psycho-Cybernetics, which had a lot of influence on me early on in my writing and thinking in terms of the imagination. He calls it the imagination. I call it vivid visualization. Same thing, that this imagination opens up our lives to possibilities. When we engage in fantasy where we just want to escape and avoid, it doesn't work. But when we're using it to see possibilities to ignite our passion we will now bring into creation. It can serve us in opening up our mind to something that is so incredible. So he said, we're not built to fail. We're just not. We are built to create magnificent things. And it's in the use of mental creation that we see the possibilities. And now we turn to passion-driven action. And if we're not in passion-driven action, it should be a clue that we may not be using our mind constructively. Constructive use of our imagination, our vivid visualization, is what ignites passion. So if everything is hard and boring and burdensome, it's probably a great clue to go, wow, I need to rethink how I'm using my mind, to mentally rehearse, to seek inspiration, to explore, to plan, to goal set, to problem solve. Great things to engage our mind in. Very powerful processes. Now we get to this part of physical creation. This is the world in which we live in. This is the tangible world. We're now going to begin to do the work of creation. We've done the preparation. Mentally, we've seen it clearly. Now we're going to begin the work of creation that will take us to the realization of our dreams. There are six measurements that help us understand the thought processes associated with physical action. Now, we're going to talk in a couple of weeks about joy in the journey. Then we'll talk about how we feel about ourselves while we're doing these tasks. Am I enjoying doing the task? Am I focused on doing it with excellence? Or am I focused on recognition? Am I running around like a chicken with my head cut off? We'll get to that piece. But this is just about the action itself, diving in and doing the work. The very first measurement is passionate. It's passionate. Mathematically, this is a very significant measurement. It's our ability to dive into something with both feet, to dot the I's, to cross the T's, to really take on a task compassion, meaning a willingness to suffer for something that we love. Now, in your intentional creation studio, when you go to your assessment, you click on creation tools, you go to your studio, you're going to go down to quality 1, 2, 3. 3 is physical creation. Click on that. It'll open up the menu in the middle, and one of the menu items is the affirmations, being able to see the affirmations for each one of these measurements. Passionate, the affirmation is, I am passionate. I am excited and fulfilled by the work I do. I passionately engage in life, embrace principles, create value, and contribute to the world. It's very difficult to work absent this piece. And when we start to do work without passion, and it becomes burdensome and hard and difficult, it starts to wear on us. We start to wear out physically. We get exhausted, emotionally, physically exhausted. It makes it very hard. So take a look at your assessment and see if it's turning orange, if there's any exhaustion starting to show up that makes it hard to be passionate. We'll talk about some things that address that here shortly. The next measurement is productive. So now I have passion I'm bringing to the table. Now the question is, how clear is my mind about what needs to be done and how to do it? I am productive. I know when something needs to be improved. I understand what needs to be done to make it better, and I take the action needed to create it. That's being productive. Productive versus busy. In the book, I wrote a little bit about this. My father was, and I were talking about this, about the difference between being busy and being productive. And he shared with me some beautiful concepts on this very, very principle. It's on page 218 of the book, if you have the book. It says, David, you know there's a huge difference between motion and action. Being busy and being productive. That's this measurement. I've never seen a badge of honor awarded, or a single bonus, or a stock option given for being busy. Now, sometimes we get into that space. This question is, can we see what needs to be done? Now, if in our assessment over enjoying the journey, we got a thought process that wants us to run around like a chicken with our head cut off, we might get in trouble. Preoccupied, but take a look and see. How clear is this thought? It typically, when it starts to turn orange, it says we're starting to get a little impatient. A little impatient. We want it done now. We want it done right. Listen for this dialogue, because this is quite often driven by how we've been using our imagination. It's okay to be urgent, to have urgency, to work without counting the cost or tracking the time. We start to get impatient and we start to crush people because we just want the job done. The job becomes more important than the people. We can start to get in a little bit of trouble. So just take a look at productive and say, wow, where am I with this one? And then organize. So now I feel passion for what I'm doing. I'm productive. I'm doing things that are moving things toward a result. I am results driven. Now I need to do it in an organized way. So the next measurement is organization. Can I see? I am organized. I do things in an organized, structured, and realistic way. I allocate and use my time and resources effectively to get the desired result. The desired result. So passion. I've got clarity around that. Have I got clarity around doing the work? Have I got clarity around doing it in an organized way? Now we're going to talk about some of the things that can get in the way. That's compliant. Compliant is, I am compliant. I act with caution and prudence. I recognize the value of doing things in an organized and structured way, even when it may keep me from doing things the way I want to do them. So when we're in the doing, we have rules and regulations and policies and procedures. That's everywhere from what time to show up sometimes in a job to how we should best use our finances. There are rules, and when we break the rules, there's consequences. So we want to stay within boundaries that are appropriate and wise. We want to make sure that we're not spending the vast majority of our wealth, our assets, whatever that is, on a flyer, if you will, on a whim. We want to be compliant. Use some good, prudent guidelines. Next thing is, what happens when we're doing something and a thing gets in the way, something gets in the way? This brings us to the topic around procrastination. When we procrastinate, we have a tendency to turn mountains into molehills. When we're minimizing the importance of something. Just take a look at your life tonight and make a list. Do I have any mountains out there on my desk or in my life that I'm trying to minimize? I'm trying to justify putting them off and not doing them. Proactive says, I am proactive. I am present, clear, and decisive. I keep obstacles in their proper perspective, and I'm willing to confront difficult or challenging problems or issues as they occur. So just take a look and see what's happening there. Am I getting any pressure from a thought process that is just tired or overwhelmed, is not being proactive, is not supporting me in being proactive? And last is protective. I am protective. I passionately protect and maintain what has been created and strive to add value in everything that I do. If I'm going to spend the time to, with passion, build in an organized way, being prudent and taking on tasks as they occur, it would probably be wise that I protect what I build. That also could be protect what I buy. How do I treat my clothes? How do I treat my car? How do I treat the place where I live? Am I allowing anything to go into disrepair because I'm not protecting it, I'm not taking care of it? So these are the six areas of thought that we have when we're doing something. Just take a look at your assessment and say, wow, have I got some thought processes in any of these areas that are keeping me from actually doing something? Now, if you have relatively balanced thought processes in this area, we just want to look across the table to join the journey and ask yourself, gosh, is there anything over here that might show up that'll keep me from fully maximizing these natural gifts? Because when they're green and blue, that just means the gifts are natural gifts. They're available to us. Even if we have a thought process in self-esteem, it says that we don't have them. Because what we know is that when we face a task and we finally decide to jump in and do it, we almost always say, wow, that wasn't so hard. Wow, why did I wait so long? We almost always do. Because when we shut off the noise and jump in and do it, we're actually allowing our natural genius to come to the surface. These measurements in physical creation, they show up. And they're so incredibly powerful that even we are surprised. Wow. Why'd I wait so long? Now, does anybody have a question about any of their measurements in this or any other part of the assessment before we move into some principles and practices and processes?
Hi, Dave.
Hi.
It's Beverly.
Hi, Beverly.
Awesome. From Vancouver.
Great to hear your voice.
Yeah. Sorry I missed the first 8 minutes, but I'm sitting here staring at a few oranges and a red in there. So could you just run through the first couple of sort of your intro to the physical creation?
Mm-hmm. Would it help if I, would you feel comfortable telling me which ones are which in terms of color?
Sure.
Okay. So you can just read them in their order to say, you know, orange, red, green, whatever it might be.
Passionate is green.
Okay, good.
Productive and organized are orange. Compliant is red. Proactive is orange. And protective is green.
Okay.
Okay.
my very best. When productive becomes orange, and I don't know because I'm not looking at your assessment, there are two options. I'll share both of them with you. And for everybody on the phone, just be with this, because at one time or another, we're going to drift. If it happens to be green, it just means it's less likely to go someplace and get stuck. As it turns orange, it's leaning in a certain direction. Productive can go in the direction of physical exhaustion. I'm just tired. So ponder that one for a moment. On the other end of the spectrum, when it turns orange, I can start to become a little frustrated that it's not happening fast enough, where I might be saying, can you imagine what I could accomplish if I didn't have to involve people? Yet you're in a people business, Beverly. So you want to hear that thought process get frustrated. Do I have to do everything myself to get it done right? So for you, if you're listening to your thought processes, which ones are going to be most prevalent? Exhaustion, thoughts about being tired and just not being motivated and not having the energy, or on the other side, being just a little impatient with how long it's taking?
I would say I've been fluctuating between both of them for a while, you know, and then I come out of it and then go back.
Well, you've got the ability to be passion-driven. We have orange in organized, which means we may not have the structure in place to support consistent action. So just take a look at your day tomorrow when you wake up and say, wow, did I wake up in the morning? Because we're going to talk about power sessions again tonight. Do I have my three power sessions planned? Do I know when they're going to be? Have I read scroll 5? Have I read scroll 9 at noon? Do I read scroll 7 at night? Mm-hmm. And there's not a lot of structure, but it's enough to push our buttons just a little bit. You're going to find out whether or not your thought processes would say, well, I just kind of want to go through the day and address things as they happen. You can hear your thoughts when you say that. I don't want to be so pinned down. I don't want to be so, what's the word I'm looking for? It's almost at the tip of my tongue. So confined by all the things that I have to do. Does that sound at all familiar?
Possibly.
How organized is your day?
In a lot of things, I'm organized. What I've known to be true over the years, and I'm much more aware of it, and I stop myself now, is that I'm organized, and then I let somebody else asking me to do something kind of pull me away from my focus. Or if somebody needs help, I run to their aid rather than sticking to what I had set in place. Like I say, I'm much more aware of it now, and I've had a lot of success when I don't do that.
Is it good to be available to serve people when they have a need?
Yes,
it is. But
yes, it is. But sometimes our thought processes, this is so subtle but fun, are looking for people that we can serve so that we don't have to stick to a schedule. It's almost like, interruption, please, any interruption, bring something to me. Go down to the next section, discipline and structure. Just take a look at, these are my thoughts about discipline and structure. Discipline, do I have a healthy appreciation for the rules? Teachable, a healthy appreciation for authority. Analytical, do I spend more time thinking than doing? Methodical, am I open to other people's ideas? Consistent, can I set a schedule and keep it? Loyal, can I enforce the rules appropriately? Just might take a look down there, because next week we're going to take those on. So as we're looking at organized specifically, when we take on discipline and structure, we may solve some of this challenge for you. But just have a smile with me tonight and go, how often do I look for interruptions? It's like I have a sign on my door. Interruptions welcomed. Please save me from having to do this. I don't want to make those cold calls today. I don't want to make those calls, those people I met last weekend. And we're almost looking for anything. And when the mind can find something that's important, and when it's about serving people, oh my goodness, that's so important. But we can schedule our day to say, I can serve them at 4 o'clock. But between 2 and 4, I'm doing this. Because if I go to serve them now at 4 o'clock, I won't have any energy left to do this. Because I'll be exhausted. So I can do both. But I'll do this first. Unless somebody's, you know, on their deathbed. But rarely is it that kind of service that's required. So that's organized. Compliant was your red one. So, Beverly, this isn't necessarily negative. It's just dangerous. So I say to you, Beverly, you can't do it that way. You cannot do it that way. Now, listen to me. That's against the rules. You can't do it that way. What's your initial reaction?
Why not?
Why not? Why not? this is called pushing the envelope. You know, this is the fighter pilot that's in a jet that goes to Mach 2, and they're pushing it to Mach 3 to see how far they can push it before they have a flame out. Well, when it flames out and they parachute out of the plane, you know, $30 million goes into the ground. we have to be very careful not to resist structure and resist rules to a point that we get ourselves in trouble. Why can't I do it that way? Well, because you won't be as successful if you keep trying to do it that way. But we want to do it our way. And sometimes our way isn't the most effective way to do it. So just, there's your red one. That was kind of screaming at you.
Mm-hmm.
Proactive, a little bit orange. We talked about procrastination a few moments ago. Have you ever procrastinated?
Yes.
I've never met anybody who doesn't, so we all do to some extent. When this turns orange, we just might do it a little bit more.
Mm.
We have that thing sitting on our desk, that stack of leads that you, from people you met last weekend at some kind of a county fair or something, and you know you need to make those calls, but you know, I'm going to do that first thing tomorrow morning. That's what we say. First thing tomorrow morning. And we feel good about it because we're scheduled. But what's interesting is yesterday we said we would do it first thing this afternoon, and we didn't because something else came up, and we convinced ourselves that that isn't too serious. But we do that for several days, and those leads get colder and colder and colder, and when we finally make the call, they can't remember meeting us. They've been to several events since then and done other things, and they don't remember us. So we turn a mountain into a molehill, and the risk is that it's like a seven-headed Medusa. It just bites us.
Mm.
Put off things that need to be done. Either it bites us in that now they're cold, and all the money we spent to go there, to buy the booth, to do all the stuff we did, was really wasted, sadly, because we put it off too long. So the invitation is to hear this dialogue. You're going to be reading Scroll 9 this week differently than ever before. I will act now. My dreams are worthless. My plans are dust. My goals are impossible. All are of no value unless I take action. Only action determines my value in the marketplace. Decrease my action, my value, I must increase my actions. I'll walk where the failure fears to walk. I'll talk when the failure remains silent. I'll work when the failure seeks rest. I will call on 10 who can buy my goods while the failure makes grand plans to call on one. That's when we're thinking about all the great things we're going to do versus just doing. I'll say that it is done before the failure says it is too late. This is taking proactive when it wants you to put something off, and you say, no, I'm going to act now. My promise to you, Beverly, if you'll actually read Scroll 9 for a week, you read it every day at noon for a week, you'll actually hear the words sometimes during the afternoon in your mind. You go to put something off, and you'll hear, act now. Mm-hmm. I don't want to act now. Act now. Okay, okay, I'll do it. And you do it, then you feel great. Wow, a sense of accomplishment. But you can actually get into a conversation with the underlying thought process underneath proactive by actually diving in and doing something. You can fight this inner battle and be triumphant. Wonderful thing, and you said protective is green. Thanks for letting us go in this space with you. These are just thought processes.
Mm-hmm.
Think about how often productive is just impatient or exhausted, so we don't do. Or organized wants to do it my way, and so I don't do. Compliant, I want to do it my way, but it's not the best way. Or proactive, I put something off. This is at the crux of success or failure. These series of thought processes, they are either supporting me. I wrote something this last week where changing some of the dialogue in the entrance to the assessment. I wrote this. This might be fun for you to hear. Let's step back and examine the fertile garden of your mind. In a few moments, you'll know which habits of thinking produce the fruits of success, happiness, and peace of mind, and which habits are more like poisonous weeds. Will assist you in pulling the weeds that want to choke out your dreams, bog down your productivity, and smother your love. Will also assist you in preparing new furrows, planting good seeds, and growing healthy habits of thinking. This is your garden, Beverly, and you are the gardener. You have the power to intentionally create what grows here. So this week we're going to start a journey with you and with everyone on the phone, wherever you are in these measurements. If there are some poisonous weeds, it's time to start pulling them out. If there's something that keeps us from being focused and organized and in action, then let's start pulling them out. Let's start hearing them for what they are and choose differently, because nothing is going to change in our lives. Nothing. Until we, in these moments, when we hear that thought, say, nope, I'm going to do it anyway. I don't want to do it. I want to do it. I want to do it. It's that simple. And doing it over and over and over again, until, as Og says, I start to wake with a vitality I've never known before. Isn't that a great, great comment? My vigor will increase. My enthusiasm, which is my God within, my divinity, will rise. My desire to meet the world will overcome every fear I once knew at sunrise. It's not saying I won't have fear. My desire will overcome the fear I once knew at sunrise, and I'll be happier than I ever believed possible in this world of strife and sorrow. That only begins to happen when we, in that pivotal moment, when we want to put something off, we say, no, I'm going to do it right now. I'm going to act now. And we act and we get that sense of accomplishment. Next time we act to get the sense of accomplishment. Act to get a sense of accomplishment. We are plowing a new furrow. It's like we got our brain in our hands. We're looking at it. But it's been firing over here on the right-hand side. And we're plowing a new furrow over here on the left-hand side. We're plowing it and plowing it. Then we're planting good seeds. Acting now. We start to nourishing them. They're starting to grow, and all of a sudden we have a new neural pathway that's grown. And the brain actually prunes off the old one. That's what it does. It's gone. That's why we feel a vitality we've never known before. And our enthusiasm arises. And our desire to meet the fears we once knew at sunrise. That happens because we have a new thought process that's functioning in our brain that we intentionally grew. We grew it. We're the gardener. We choose what grows here. And many of us have been gardeners of a garden that is full of weeds. And we've been waiting for somebody else to come and do the gardening. No one else is going to come and do the gardening. We will want to pull weeds. We will want to plant the new seeds. The beautiful part of this is that we can. We actually can. Anybody can. But nobody's going to do it for them. You okay, Beverly?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's fun. It's fun to know this. In the moment, when you're in that pivotal moment, your thought process wants you to do something else, and you're like, and that battle's raging in your mind, and you find just put down the gauntlet and say, look, weed, be gone. That's the moment when you know you're back in charge of your life. Many of us have allowed these weeds to just take over in many areas. We can look at our assessment. Any place you see orange and red, you're going, oops, there's some weeds. How poisonous are those? Let's weed those out. Let's stop kicking and fighting and resisting and resenting. Let's stop. Let's surrender. You heard me say this before in our coaching session, Beverly, that the very things we are longing to have are right behind the very things we're resisting to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's strange. They're like in a vault. It doesn't even have a lock on it. It doesn't need a lock. Because we're in such resistance, we'll never do it. Until we make this decision, we wake up one day and say, no, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to let these weeds run my garden. I'm the gardener. I'm going to clean up this mess. I'm going to pull these weeds. I'm going to plant these seeds. I'm going to nurture. And what's beautiful, what I grow feeds me. Did I hear? Hello? Is there anyone else that would like to ask a question this evening before we move forward into the next area?
Thank you,
Dave. Oh, you're welcome, Beverly. Thank you for participating. And thanks for enduring my little soapbox.
Oh, well, no. I mean, those colors are pretty bright. So thank you. Pretty
environment. They are. Yeah. But guess what, Beverly? They're not you.
Yeah, I know.
You're the gardener. You may have allowed those weeds to grow in your garden, but you're the gardener. You're not the weed. Now, some people smoke this weed, and then they get in trouble, you know. I'm just kidding. Everybody on the phone, you're the gardener. You're the observer of these weeds. You can choose to pull them, and you can choose to let them to continue growing. It's your option. Totally your choice. It's your choice. Could anyone else this evening that would like to ask a question about these measurements before we go on to the next principle?
Dave, it's Marjorie.
Hi, Marjorie.
Hi there. I just want to comment that I really appreciate you pointing out that and reminding us that we are not the colors and that we have the gardener. As I plant my garden, I think that, yes, and to just separate ourselves a little bit from that and that we have the control on that, and I really appreciate that.
Oh, you're so welcome. It's really easy to get caught up in them, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And then we
start taking it so personally.
Taking it so personally. Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What a great gift to give yourself. I am not, you know, I can choose to surrender. You know, it's the new book, The Observer's Chair. That's what The Observer's Chair is all about. I sit here in this chair. When I make this choice and I override any of these orange and red measurements and I take on my life, I feel so incredible. Wow. But there are times when I surrender to those other habits of thinking. I go sit in the garden and have the weeds just hold me down. They hold me prisoner, as Og said. I surrender my free will to these years of accumulated habits, to these weeds. And the past deeds of my life have already marked out a path which threatens to imprison my future. I am here. I am over there, entangled in them. But I am who I am. I am that I am. I step out of all of that, and I can make a different choice. I can live differently. It's a great thing to know. But it's not without some effort.
Mm-hmm.
Now, sometimes we want to go through self-improvement. We want self-improvement to be the solution. I wrote about this in the book on this very topic. Sometimes we want to, let me see if I can find it real quick. Here it goes. Page 217.
In
it
today,
says,
I began
today
a new
it
life.
Seems, began a new life, page 217. This is about the conversation about the work, doing the work. It's about the third paragraph from the bottom. It's about a third of the way up from the bottom. We're talking about work. I said, Dad, I fear that principle is slipping through our fingers like water. Today, the focus seems to be on how hard it will be, the labor required, or how much time it will take, or how busy everyone is. Many just want a life free from stress, pain, and frustration, without time constraints or financial restrictions, a life of abundance and ease. Work is getting a bad rap. And he responded, that's not really new, son. Yes, but today it seems like they just want a fantasy fairy to magically manifest her dreams. If we will just visualize them with enough intention, it's crazy. Now, I was very exercised in this conversation. My dad said, you sound a little angry. Then I want to describe the source of the anger. It wasn't at people. In many ways, I am. I've heard too many grown men cry in pain. Women, too. But when a man's crying, it's something about it. Why is everyone else succeeding? What's wrong with me? Page 218. Does God not love me? I've read thousands of assessments, and the pattern is nearly pandemic. Unrealistic expectations created while in fantasy, life showing up differently, which it always does, followed by self-loathing, which people question their worth, worthiness, ability, and even their beliefs. The destruction is painful to witness. The popular answer has been to read more books, listen to more CDs, watch more DVDs, attend more seminars and trainings, and engage in more coaching, believing that somehow, some way, these preparatory activities, that's including tonight, are the work of creation. The self-improvement in and of itself creates success. I pause to catch my breath. Does any of this make sense? My dad said, yeah, I was just thinking about a time when I was called to Brown University to Providence, Rhode Island. He talks about repairing a computer, which was his life, all in top secret laboratories, fixing computers that nobody else could fix, and he was the last line of defense. He was sent in, and if they couldn't fix it, they had to throw it away. And he never failed to fix it because he was always results-driven. He was always focused on doing whatever was required. My dad has taught me some incredible lessons. But what a lesson for all of us. The self-improvement is not coming to this coaching session. This is just for us to get in touch with where to do the work. The work happens in those pivotal moments. That's where the work occurs. That's when we're consciously exercising our free agency to make a different choice and doing it enough times over enough repeated moments to create a new neural pathway in our brain. I don't want to be discouraged by this because we are by our very nature. And Marjorie, thank you for saying what you said, because we are metacognitive. Big word. Just means we are beyond thought. We can change a thought, and we're still here. We were here when the bad thought was here, and we're here when the good thought was here. We're still here. We are not our thoughts. We are beyond our thoughts. And we can consciously choose to hear them, change them, and we're here during the whole process. Our true self. This is a magnificent thing to even contemplate. How powerful that must be. I am the observer. I am the gardener of this garden. Oh, my goodness. Now, we might occasionally beat ourselves up for allowing this to happen or for not doing something about it sooner. Yeah, I could see that. But let's make the decision tonight to change. Let's make the decision that I'm going to change the way I think. It's not going to do anything for me but bring joy. There's nothing that's going to happen from that but bring joy, a new vitality I've never known before, an enthusiasm that starts to rise, my goodness within me. This is the gift we give ourselves when we make the choice to actually make the change. You can't go to enough coaching sessions. Change will not occur from attending. It occurs in those pivotal moments. And it occurs, Marjorie, because you are the gardener. You are the observer. You are the metacognitive being. You're the one beyond thought. What a powerful thing to contemplate. Thanks for raising that. Anyone else have a comment? I want to ask one more time before we jump into power sessions. Any other thoughts tonight?
Dave?
Yes.
This is Doug Stoddard.
Hi, Doug. Good to hear your voice.
Yeah, you too. I listen to your voice all week and just can't get on Tuesday night calls usually. But I have a question. As we move from area to area throughout the weeks, which do we do the, like you mentioned, number nine on the do nine three times a day, or what's the process with the scrolls?
I'm going to give it to you right now. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
I'm going to give you the pattern. This will be the assignment for this week. Now, many of us have been through personal coaching, group coaching. Many have been through a number of these Tuesday night calls. We've done all of this. And we're going, why isn't it working? If anybody's having that kind of, what's not working? Why isn't my life changing? Why isn't my business growing? Well, I'm going to give you the exercise tonight that will help identify how to do this. Because we don't have any problem vividly visualizing. We just want to do it constructively. But we do have a challenge doing what we're going to talk about next tonight. This is a hard thing to do. It's a very hard thing to do. However, it's a thing we're going to want to master in time. You're going to want to be kind to yourself, and you want to give yourself time because you didn't get here overnight. It's kind of like Ramon and I are working on our physical health this year. I didn't get like this in a month. So there's no way in the world I'm going to fix it in a month. It's going to take some time. I've got a deadline, June 29th, my 60th birthday. I want to be in better shape than I've ever been in. So that's the plan. So by June 29th, it gives me some time to work on this. It has given me some time to work on it. Same thing with this process tonight. However, for the change to occur, it will be critical for everyone on this phone to begin the process tonight of living present in the now. Living present in the now. Totally present. Most of us spend the vast majority of our time in our mind. This will help us begin to see whether or not we're present in the now or whether we're in our mind, and we start to get very deliberate, very intentional about what we're doing. To Doug's question, the very first thing we want to do is set a framework this week for the scrolls that we're going to study. It's a very specific pattern, and it's for a reason. We want to start with scroll number 5 first thing in the morning. I would have your scrolls either on a CD or the book, something very close to you. You've got your Intentional Creation Studio. You go into the studio. You can download scroll number 5. You can click on the 10 scrolls, scroll 5, and scroll down till you see the copy. You can copy and paste that into a Word document so you got it on a piece of paper if you want it. Just have it with you in the morning and make that the very first thing that you do. You might get up and go to the restroom or whatever, but the first activity is to read this scroll. We want to capture our thoughts before they drift off into self-pity or despair or discouragement. Hogg talks about this. Each day when I awake, I'll follow this plan of battle before I'm tempted, captured by the forces of sadness, self-pity, and failure. He talks about this in Scroll 6. Here's the pattern. We read Scroll 5. I will live this day as if it is my last. If you truly listen to this scroll, you're going to hear Ogg's heart. Ogg was an alcoholic, lost his wife, lost his daughter. He was estranged from them for a lifetime. He never, ever talked to his daughter. Betty was there when she passed away, helping her through her cancer years and years later. But he went to his grave, estranged from his daughter. When we listen to this scroll, you can hear the ache of his soul. Many of us have had losses, financial losses, relationship losses, all kinds of losses. But here's a guy who understands where you are, and he says, what am I going to do first thing in the morning? I'm going to make this decision to take this day and seal up its container of life so that not one drop spills upon the sand. I'm not going to spend one moment, not a moment, mourning yesterday's misfortunes, yesterday's defeats, yesterday's aches of the heart. For why should I throw good, which is today, after bad? There's no question that we've all done crazy things in our past that we're not proud of. But why throw a good day away and throw it after bad? And then he goes through several examples and he says, can I take back the evil that was spoken, the blows that were struck, the pain that was caused? That's about as close to his heart you'll ever touch in this particular scroll. This was a tender issue for him. He says, no. He's going to stay focused in the now. And then he takes us to another place, which is so important. It's the future. And he says, will tomorrow's sand flow through the glass before today's? And the answer is, of course not. Can I perform tomorrow's deeds while standing in today's path? Of course not. We know that. However, we can spend this good day, this time we have, thinking about what's coming that we haven't even experienced yet. It's in the future. And as he said, shall I torment myself with problems that may never come to pass? Concern myself over events that I may never witness? Many of us create self-fulfilling prophecies because we waste this good day and we throw it after maybe. And instead of being in the present, in creation, creating the very things that will avoid those fears, we're wasting all of this time trying to do tomorrow's task while standing in today's path, tormenting ourselves over things we may never witness, trying to put tomorrow's gold, this is a beautiful artistic way of saying fantasy, tomorrow's gold in today's purse. This is one of the richest scrolls because there's so much metaphor and there's so much depth in what he's saying to us. And he talks to us about being grateful for this day when he says, this day is all I have. These hours are my eternity. Now, to help better understand that, we know that 10 minutes from now, it's still now. 10 hours from now, it's still now. 10 days from now, it's still now. It's still today. It's always today. It's always today. Tomorrow's an illusion. Because when we get there, it's still today. And that's what he's trying to share with us. Live in today. Live in the now. And he talks about avoiding with fury the killers of time. Procrastination I'll destroy with action. Doubt I'll bury under faith. Fear I'll dismember with confidence. Where there are idle mouths, I will listen not. Where there are idle hands, I will linger not. Where there are idle bodies, I will visit not. Henceforth, I know that to court idleness is to steal food, clothing, and warmth from those I love. I'm not a thief. This is an incredible scroll to get us prepared in the morning to look at this day because it's the last time we get it. That's it. Today's the 26th of March. In just a few hours, this day is gone forever. So when we wake up in the morning to March 27th, let's read this scroll to start the day. Let's read the scroll. Then at noon, because we will have had a few hours. Noon is midday, so it depends on when you wake in the day and how your day flows. But about midday for your day, you want to read Scroll 9. I will act now. My dreams are worthless. My plans are dust. My goals are impossible. All are no value unless they're followed by action. This scroll, if you'll actually read it every day at noon, if you'll read it, what'll start to happen is you'll come up to a task, you'll try to put it off. That thought process underneath proactive is going to say, oh, I'll do that tomorrow. and you'll hear the words, act now. Just know that's your true self speaking. That's your true self. It may not have always been given a voice. We may not have honored it as such. We may have viewed it as an outside source. That's your true voice speaking. I will act now. It's inviting you to embrace your genius and take that action. So scroll 9. Now, during the course of the day, there are going to be things that are going to happen that are not always going to be exciting. So we end the day by reading scroll number 7, A Laugh at the World. This is a great scroll because we're most comical when we can't laugh at ourselves for some of the things we've done, some of the things we said. Or when someone else causes our tears or curses, as he says, you know, this too shall pass. Everything's got to pass. Our wealth will pass. Our poverty will pass. Our beauty will pass. All those things will pass. This too shall pass. Just to put things in proper perspective. Otherwise, we'll blow it out of perspective. We'll start trying to do tomorrow's task. We'll stay on today's path. We'll try to do tomorrow's goal in today's purse. We'll start doing all the craziness. Just stop it. Just read this scroll to get grounded so you can sleep like a baby and get up the next morning and do it all over again. Do this at least. Do this at least. And see if you can serve yourself 3 times a day by reading those 3 scrolls. 5 in the morning, 9 midday, 7 at night. See if you can do that. If you find the noise so loud that when you're ready to feed your soul and take on your life, be present in the now, the very place where you create your dreams, you talk yourself out of being here. Your thought processes over there, those weeds in that garden, have they got that stranglehold on you? Oh my goodness, they do. They're just strangling me. Just pull them off your neck and go read the scroll. It'll get easier with time. You'll have more and more power over, and you'll pull those weeds, and they'll die. You pull them up by the root, they die. In the sunlight of success, they will wither. So do this piece. Now, if you're able to do this piece, then add a next piece to it, or as soon as you're able, a power session. A power session is simply a time when you're going to be fully present in the now. Fully present in the now for a period of time, say for an hour. Maybe it's 10 o'clock in the morning or it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Something really important that day. The most important thing you've got in your schedule. Focus on that thing. Start mentally rehearsing, preparing for it. Execute. This is not about fanfare or, you know, a circus act. This is just you truly showing up. The gift you give yourself is you bring all of you, your genius, all of you, to that moment and see what you can create. It could be magnificent. Miracles occur when we show up fully present. When you're ready, then add a second one. When you're ready, add a third one. And when you're ready, start journaling about your successes. This is a sequence. And I'd like to, if all of you have heard about power sessions. And if you've struggled with them, you might have struggled because you tried to do them perfectly. All 3 scrolls, all 3 power sessions, journaling at night. It might be too much. I know the first time I did this, it was like so overwhelming. It's like my exercise program. I think I've shared this with you in the coaching programs. When I decide I want to get in shape, I go out and run so far the first day, I can't get out of bed the second day. We don't want it to be like that. We want this to be a natural, gradual increase. If you could draw on a piece of paper an incline, make a triangle, right angle triangle with a long incline where it's going up. I'll see if I could describe this to you. Put a little stick figure at the top and a stick figure at the bottom. Most of the time when we take on something like this, we get so excited to just take it on. We go right to the top, and that's where we start. And the truth is that if we start at the top, we only have one direction to go, and that's downhill. And we start slipping. If we start at the bottom and we work our way up to an area that we can handle, And that becomes our new baseline. There's only one direction to go. It's up. Now we move up a little bit faster, or a little bit further, and we do that till it becomes a habit, and we have a new baseline. And we move up. We'll eventually get to the top. Treat power sessions the same way. Start by doing the three scrolls. Then add a power session, then a second power session, then a third power session. Then you're journaling. And you'll know that you are living present in the now when you reach that point. Till then, you just know that you're going to be taking on these thought processes and pulling weeds, and pulling another weed, and pulling another weed. Let us do this time. Really do it. Just know you've got thought processes that are resistant, that want you to rebel, that want you to do it your own way. And if you've got another way of doing power sessions, I'm okay with that. This isn't about a way to do it. It's about being present. Being present in the now for a period of time. Reading a scroll does that. Doing a power session will do that. Take this on, because the goal, the ultimate goal eventually, when you're at the top of that incline, is to live present in the now throughout the day, where you intentionally leave the present and you go into a mental creation process intentionally. You say, I want to ponder this. I'm going to be still for a moment, go into the stage of my mind, the theater of my mind, as Maxwell Maltz calls it, and I'm going to seek direction. What can I create? How can I create that? How will that serve? Idea comes, ignites passion. I come back into the now and I execute. We want to shift our lives so we're living in the now, intentionally using our gift of vivid visualization, and not the other way around, where we're living in our mind undisciplined, all over the place, bouncing from here to there, trying to discipline it to be constructive. Let's now focus on being present in the now and limiting the time we spend just wandering wild in our mind. Okay, I'm going to open this up to any questions. Any thoughts or questions about this before I turn you loose tonight to put this on?
Dave?
Yes.
Yeah, this is Doug again. So this is like for the next month we do this process, or?
Do this for the next week.
How? Just the week.
Do this for you're going to do it for your lifetime, Doug. But we're going
right,
to focus on this for the next week. And when we come together next week and we take on discipline and structure, we're going to be taking on the thought processes that got in your way this last week, that talked you out of some of your power sessions, talked you out of reading a scroll. Wow.
Okay.
Really powerful weeds.
Okay.
So do this for a week, and then we'll do discipline. And that's been one of the challenges. I'm glad you raised the question, because when we do it in the coaching, it's like, well, we did power sessions this week. What do we do next week? Once we introduce power sessions, we begin a journey of living present in the now. It never stops.
It's been so fun because many of these thought processes you're talking about, I see a great taming effect. Because I've done the scrolls for so long now, and getting better at the power sessions and the journaling nightly, and it's just so nice for the most part to be calm. And I just really grateful to you. I was at a booth the other day for a business expo for a chamber, and people say, what do you do? Well, I help people who want to improve relationships and communication, and that's what I talked about, noise in the brain. And they all said, I know exactly what you mean. How do you turn it off? I said, look at these books. Here you are. I had your books on the table there. I said, these have made a major difference. And meeting weekly with Dave on the phone. And just takes time, but the answers are there. And so thank you very much.
We have to designate you as an OG ambassador.
I tell you, I send people your way all the time.
The ambassador of OG. That's awesome. Thank you, Doug.
It
has been great to be with all of you tonight. And thank you, Marjorie. Thank you, Beverly and Doug, for sharing. let's just, in final, let's take this on a different level this week. Because this really is success or failure in your life, dependent on you making the decision to accept and assume the role that you've been given. It's a God-given role. You've got metacognition. You're the gardener. You're the observer. You won't have a perfect garden by next Tuesday night. But let's see if we can't start pulling a few weeds and planting a few seeds by doing this. And come back next Tuesday ready to go to the next level. Well, thanks, everyone. Have a great week, and we'll be back with you next Tuesday night at 7 o'clock Mountain Time. Thanks, everyone. Come off of mute and just
thank
say goodbye
you.
For us.
Thanks,
everyone.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.
Great. Good night,
everyone. Thanks, Dave.
Good night, everyone. Thanks, Dave. Bye.
You're welcome. Bye-bye, everyone.